This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Joining us now to discuss this is Gary V, CEO of V Friends and VaynerMedia, and O'Shea Jackson Sr., better known as the rapper, actor, and filmmaker Ice Cube. Welcome, Gary.
I heard that name. Wow.
That's the name.
Wasn't sure what we should use, yeah.
Just call
me Cube. So pleased to have you guys here. All right, cool. So let me just quickly try to summarize what's going on here, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. So Gary, you're buying 25 NFTs from the Big Three Basketball League. And if I understand this, I'm just trying to put this in the most simple terms. This is an idea of fractionalizing ownership of these sort of sports teams, right? Because the idea is that in the past, you would have like one owner kind of monopolizing ownership, and now it's a little bit more democratized and individuals can buy NFTs and kind of own parts of these leagues. Ice Cube, is that correct? Did I sum that up correctly?
Definitely. You know, the NFT revolution is here, and you know, nobody has really been able to add the utilities to them to really make them kind of, you know, pop and really, you know, embrace Web3. So, you know, we have a league that's great, 12 teams. The league owned all 12 teams. And to now be able to, you know, decentralize that and you know, bring in these great communities who can own these teams and also grow the league. And, you know, it's a new frontier. And we're glad to be in. You know, Gary, you know, he's been a great guy in helping us develop this in a lot of ways as far as, you know, helping us just with advice on how to make it, you know, a new day for NFTs.
You know, I think, great. Okay, I'm glad
Yeah, what I was going to say is that I think, no worries, the thing that I think is really interesting for everybody who's watching this show, and I'm a fan and I know a lot of people in this community watch it, is we haven't started really taking advantage of what the blockchain really means. Right now we're infatuated in NFT land on the collectability side with a hint of utility, but I think everybody who's really taking a step back and thinking about this technology overall recognizes over time the real impact of the consumer blockchain and NFTs will be utility with hints of collectability and kind of a both game, because there'll be your Andy Warhols and your Jackson Pollocks and your Michael Jordan rookie cards. But you're also going to see incredible advancements of things that can be done. And this is not only fractionalizing ownership, which I'm thrilled to be a part of, and the Big Three is going to open up, but there's utility on top of it. You know, the tokens also create scenarios for courtside seats and the ability to talk about logos, access to our players. So, you know, obviously I've always loved sports. I'm always trying to learn and try new things. And Big Three from day one, when it first hit the scene several years ago, really caught my attention because I was infatuated with how passionate everybody was about the game, because we all loved the players that were playing, and maybe they were done in the NBA or overseas, but we still had so much affinity against the IP, as I like to call it, the equity of those players, that the entertainment value was very high. 3-on-3 is something a lot of us grew up playing. And I think for Big Three and other leagues and organizations, taking advantage of the technology that is now here reminds me a lot of 95, 6, 7, and 8, when companies and organizations finally said, wait a minute, maybe we should use the internet. I think we're starting to see the evolution of people saying, and organizations saying, maybe I should use the blockchain for what it is.
So, Gary, it's kind of an interesting moment to have you to talk about this because, you know, over the past days, there's been some really negative press about NFTs, right? The Wall Street Journal had a big article saying, you know, NFT sales are flatlining. Is this the beginning of the end? And, you know, there's been all this controversy with the Bored Apes. And, you know, so people are kind of, you know, sort of getting the point of NFTs, you know, at least some people. But I'd like to hear just from your perspective, just some real talk here about, like, what are some of the problems, you know, with NFTs? Where are the places that could be improved? And, you know, are you, because you're clearly obviously still going all in on NFTs, but, you know, yes, there's definitely, we seem to be hitting a turning point, at least on sort of like the media analysis of them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was literally on this show 9 months ago saying that 98% of these things are going to zero. And when the market softens, there will be articles written that it was a fad, just like the internet. So, you know, to me, it's kind of exactly what should happen when there's a gold rush. Last year, there was a gold rush. There was so much excitement. It was internet stock valuations, 1996, 7, 8, right? In 97, 98, 99, you had internet companies have 43, 49, $100 billion valuations back in 1999 and didn't have any revenue. We got too excited about the internet because we understood the macro, but in the micro, it wasn't there. Same thing now, to your point. We have a maturity now. You know, people are starting to take a step back and say not every project is going to 10X. And so I think you have these ebbs and flows. Most people talk a good game that they're ready for the storm. They didn't spend money they can't afford to lose, but it's not true. We see that in housing markets. We see that on Wall Street. And we're going to see that in NFT land. And so I think this is the appropriate moment. I actually smiled cheek to cheek with the title that the Wall Street Journal wrote because it's literally exactly the 97 to 99. It's the April 2000 articles about the internet. See, we told you the internet was a fad. No, consumers got way too crazy and the hysteria took prices too high. This is a correction and there's a more mature, thoughtful market on the back end. And that is just on the NFT market we have now that is completely based on collectability. I think what we're talking about here today on utility, what you know I'm trying to do in 2 weeks in Minnesota with VCon and what other things are happening, I think utility is going to start taking a forefront or at least an equal to the collectability and community part. And I think it's better days ahead. I think we also have to acknowledge there's a whole lot going on in the war in the world, right? There's wars, there's inflation, there's a lot of factors that are playing into this, not just the recorrection of hysteria buying every project's going to the moon. And so it all makes perfect sense.
Gentlemen, of course, Mazel Tov on this big launch, but I got to ask, what exactly do you own in buying these NFTs? You have a league that currently owns 100% of all the teams. So now are you selling 49%, up to 49% of each team, or is it more than 49%? You know, does it mean that somebody could come in and buy like a majority stake in a particular team just using NFTs and who knows what they can do? How do you decide that? Because, you know, the NFL, let's say, and all these major leagues, they determine who owns these, who can buy and who can sell the teams. But is that going to be the case here? I mean, like, is the big three league going to determine who owns what and how much of a percentage they can own of the team?
QB, you want to
get right now? Go ahead, Gary. Go ahead. I'll let you hit it.
Cube, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I've crossed these T's and I's for the last couple of weeks with my legal team. Individuals are going to be able to get up to 40% of the teams, and they are able to only transact financially on sale of team. So to your point, my friend, the big three league still has a lot of that control. They have the majority, plus you're not P&L profiting each year. You're profiting as whatever ownership you own of the team on transaction of the team. So obviously, when you think about that, people walking into that scenario need to understand what controls and non-controls they have. You know, for me, I think I've been very on the record for the last 20 years. My professional goal is to own the New York Jets one day. And so as you can imagine, much Why? Like I did with the pickle, well, because I want to win a Super Bowl and I'm miserable. And so I feel like if I'm in control, I might be able to do that. You know, for me, the triplets is the team that I'm going to be buying into. I want to learn. So for me, this is much like the pickleball team that I bought recently. I want to keep getting experience. And so for me, that's the value prop above and beyond the fact that I really believe in the league and on a transaction, I think there's a business opportunity for me. Obviously every single NFT is going to have different layers of responsibility, ownership. I'm going to have a whole chunk of 40% with my team. Obviously, other teams are going to be fractionalized more than that. So I think, you know, whether it's access to being able to have access to players or courtside seats or logos or the things that you want to impact on the team, this is, I would call it more operational, more COO life than CEO life on the way they fractionalize it. That's how I saw it, but it still worked for my situation. Cube, anything I missed?
No, I think you hit it right on the head. You know, this is really for people who want to be involved in sports, you know, on the next level. You know, it's voting rights, tickets, merchandise. It's for people that really, really want to have their voice heard and, you know, get treated pretty good when you come to the games. And so, you know, it's really the ultimate, you know, sports fan, you know, situation, put it that way. So, you know, it's amazing to have, you know, Gary V and a couple other communities to actually buy whole teams and to really be, you know, able to grow this league through the activities in their communities. It's just a new day. We're happy.
So, Cube, you had, you know, you started this new league a while ago, and it's still going. Now you have these kind of alternative leagues happening in other sports as well. The most prominent right now being the USFL, and there was USFL generations ago. It feels like that tried the same thing and essentially compete with the NFL. So, what kind of advice would you give them? I mean, you know, we're seeing, you know, we had the WNBA, we have the USFL. What advice would you give them, and what do you think they're doing right now, and what do you think that they could do better?
I think the key is not to compete, you know, to be a complementary league. I think, you know, I believe the USFL is working with the NFL, which is great. You know, we would like to work close with the NBA. But the key is, you know, with the big three, we found our niche in the summer when it's not, you know, a lot of competitive, you know, hoops going on in the summer. We felt like that was our sweet spot. And, you know, we approached this kind of like UFC approached boxing. You know, we want to create our own sport and our own niche and not compete, but be complementary. And I think that's the key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think your point, as somebody who grew up a huge USFL fan back in the 80s, I loved the New Jersey Generals. There are so few leagues that have made it this many years, right? That was no question a big thing for me. Like from day one when Big Three hit, I was like, wow, they have a product people actually want. And I think the history of the World Football League, the XFL, the USFL, like it's really hard to find product market fit. That's just the name of the game in business. And they clearly have it with the Big Three. And I think that is disproportionately the thing that's most interesting to me. Look, I think every company on earth is going to have an NFT blockchain strategy, just like every company on earth has a website and social media strategy. I think this is not a campaign. This is a technology infrastructure. In 7 years, every company will have an NFT strategy, whether it's for their club card, marketing, you know, leveling degrees, right? To me, yes, this is cool that they decided to fractionalize, but this is about the Big Three being a product people care about. Look, I think these are complicated measures that everyone's trying to figure out. You know, I'm a believer that freedom of speech matters. I'm very empathetic to why people worry about misinformation. I think that misinformation is happening all over the world, both on mainstream media, social networks. The internet is a conversation we have very little about around information. So I think we get fixated on it because it's very important and information is how the world kind of navigates. And so, you know, I think that most people have become so incredibly red and blue, and it's really unfortunate. And I think in general, the energy that we need to be thinking about quite a bit is this game of purple. I mean, people have completely dug in, and really, if you look at the history of the free world and the world in generally, when we start pushing as this far apart, we get into very dangerous places. So for me, in the face of controversial topics and issues and complex matters that humans have been trying to figure out for centuries, I try to deploy a lot of compassion and empathy. I also think the biggest mistake we've made in society is the inability to try to figure out intent. We've become incredibly literal and are trying to create scenarios that fit the narrative of how we see the world. And for some reason, we as humans have decided to completely lock in, to completely dismiss intent, watching people get macro and, more importantly, micro-canceled every hour on the hour on social media, where it was clear to the most common sense human being that the intent wasn't there, is a really major topic that needs to go into self-accountability, modern-day parenting, and a lot more pointing thumbs at each other, at ourselves, instead of what we've done now, which is mass societal finger-pointing. That's kind of how I see it.
Well, definitely can't do stand-up anymore without somebody attacking you. I mean, but yeah, anyway, getting back to sort of how you ended up into crypto. I mean, how'd you go from NWA to NFT, or is it now NFTWA? you know, how did this whole process start? Like, who cornered you at a party and made you suffer through their whole pitch of like, here's what I want to tell you about Bitcoin and crypto, and how'd you get into it? Like, what happened there?
I mean, just being a creative person, I'm always looking for new ways to create. Of course, seeing a lot of artists get into NFTs was very interesting to me. When I got into it, I looked to work with the best. I did a drop with Trevor Jones. I did a drop with Silly Gabe. And we worked months to make sure that those were great projects. So I'm always looking to work with the best. You know, we're very fortunate that Gary V sees the world like we do when it comes to utilities and where the, you know, the NFT space is going, and to be first, you know, on that frontier with us. So, you know, the thing is when you get into a new space, you got to respect the space and respect the people who've made the space. And that's what we've done. And I think we're going to have a great drop tomorrow and Sunday. And, you know, I think we're going to show the world really how to do the future of NFTs when it comes to the big three and working with all these great communities.
Cube, as you know, like, basically every celebrity has an NFT now, or I mean, you know, they're just kind of all over the place. But we've had a bunch of hip hop artists on the show, and it seems like there's kind of a special relationship between hip hop specifically and NFTs. At least that's what people have said. And I'm curious, like, if you could talk about that for a second. Do you think it has a specific, like, any kind of special significance in the hip hop community, or just what it might mean for the future of that industry specifically?
Well, I mean, I think it's a new frontier when it comes to hip hop artists. We're kind of always looking for, you know, the new wave or the new craze or you know, what's really going to be the future of, you know, it's not just art, you know, they're starting to do music with NFTs. You know, people are seeing all kind of concepts. Now, going through the studio system our whole career to see the blockchain technology where the people decide whether a project is gonna, you know, be created or not. It's just very exciting to me. And I'm pretty sure a lot of hip hop artists who went through, you know, record companies and studios and the process, and to be able to break away from that and to be directly with the fans, and you guys, you know, come up with a project and enough fans want it to exist, you can make it happen through the NFT blockchain. So I just think it's really about getting in, understanding the world, and then just taking it to new heights.
Awesome. Cube, I just have one more last question as well. I saw that you're joining the Doge Army, and I'm just wondering what kind of inspired you or drew you to the world of Doge.
Well, you know, we just got Bill Lee to purchase a team for the Doge Coin Army. And, you know, it's great. We're connecting with a lot of great communities. You know, we're connecting with the D Gods, Krause House, few people that's coming in to be a part of this. And, you know, the top of them all is Gary V. So, you know, I think we got a great crew of people who are looking to blow this league up, who have great ideas, and
awesome.
We're just excited to be involved and to have something that's that's hot and people want to be a part of.
Yeah, I'm excited for you guys. Gary, congratulations on joining the Big Three. And Cube, congratulations on continued success. Appreciate you guys coming on the show.
Cheers. Love you, Cube. Talk to you later. See you. Bye, everyone.
All right, thank you.